Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. After losing both of his parents at a young age and having to grow up on the streets of Baltimore, Maryland, Murphy chose to devote his time to learning the art of music, and it paid off. After a fairly successful stint on American Idol in 2021, Murphy is excited to be releasing his first single, Painted Man, in anticipation of his upcoming debut CD in the not-too-distant future. Murphy is our guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Murphy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. You've got that nice baritone voice. Have you done any radio work?
I'm trying to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or voiceover work. You get the good voice for it. So,
thank you.
You have an interesting story. I'm sure some people have heard it. We'll talk about a little more in depth later, but had a chance to get on American Idol. So some of the folks in the world got to hear your story. You grew up in Baltimore. Is that still home?
Not now, no. I mean, I grew up in Baltimore, but I've traveled all over. I ended up Seattle is where I'm at currently.
Okay.
I'm working out of Ohio, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, all right. How long were you in the Baltimore, Maryland area?
For the better part of my childhood and my youth up until I was about maybe 19, early 20s.
Okay. And that was kind of a tough road, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to say it, but that city, it has two names, and you try to remember it as the Charm City.
Yeah.
And some days it's hard to keep to that.
Sure.
You know, because I love Baltimore, I really do. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten my path in life if I didn't have that city. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Even, you know.
Yeah. Well, so obviously without going into a lot of the history, you had kind of a rough childhood and growing up in that community. How did you find music? How was music the thing that got you out of that space?
Well, there's a couple ways to answer that, I suppose, but music has always been a part of my life. And ever since I was a little boy, I kind of clung to it because it was something I could do and I wasn't in the way of anything. So music, I mean, it started with like listening to my dad's radio in his old cars, and he just tried to show me songs that he liked, and then I eventually liked them myself and looked for other things like that, and it crafted my sense of what I thought good music was, because
yeah,
there was a sense of completion to a lot of the music that they'd written in the 70s and 60s, and so I kind of took to it like you have to be good at it to really pursue it.
Uh-huh.
And so,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you have an outlet for that as a younger person? When was it something that you realized that you were becoming good at and that you could pursue it?
When I was in elementary school, honestly, it was a start for me because I believe I was singing in the chorus program. I thought that was kind of my gateway. I used to sing church music when I was a little boy, and when I was in choir, you know, of any kind, it was a kind of a different thing to try and sing, because you learned songs in different languages, and it kind of made you feel capable. It wasn't the same as singing to songs on the radio, and yeah, it was an interesting way to look at singing for me when I started doing it, because it was a window to something else, a different culture sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
I liked that because, you know, I couldn't get that out of some of the music that I'd already heard, and so
yeah,
it clicked a little bit more about what I wanted out of music at that age.
Yeah.
When I was about maybe 14, my father got me a guitar, and I'd had a keyboard at intermittently because we'd moved around, and keyboards are not easy to keep with you as you need to quickly change living situations. And so it was consistently in my life. I wanted to play the piano, but I ended up becoming very good at the guitar. And so it's an interesting thing about that, you know, how music's played into my life, because I ended up, you know, following my folk idols in some capacity at some points,
uh-huh.
and and kind of lingering a dream about being good at keys, because I never, you know, it would, keys were kind of in a passive thing. You never think you're going to have them for a long period of time. And then now that I do, I find myself writing different songs and my perspective on music has changed again. And, and now.
Yeah. So at some point you got on the road and were a traveling musician. Tell us how that started for you. How did you get away from the city and begin to pursue your music like that?
I mean, I guess it all kind of started when I was working a job where I really wanted to help people. It was the only thing I thought I was good at, you know, trying to help people. It was, you know, you try not to be in the way. You just say, hey, what can I do? And like I worked a job where that was pretty much it. I got to a point in that job where it was stressful showing up, because every day was like a way to crack at my eyesight, my disability. And I started, you know, losing a lot of that, you know, a lot of my faith in that. And one day when I had no money, you know, not even enough to get to work, I went down to the pier and just played my guitar and hoped the cops didn't show. And it was, because I knew I was down right on the water. It was not, you know, you need a permit, you know, to busk there, I believe. And I even sent in for one. I never got word back.
Wow.
But it was at that stage when I went out there one or two times, I made $60 in about an hour on the first time. And it was astonishing. It was sunny and it was nice. I had people dancing, and I mean, I was terrible. I mean, I was not as good as I am now.
Yeah.
And by a long shot. But it was in that moment that I realized I could sit in the sun, be myself, make ends, and make somebody's day.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it any other way. And one of the most, I guess, heartfelt moments for me was I met an artist who went down to the pier. I don't remember his name, but it was early. It was maybe about 7 a.m. He'd come down to draw at the water, and I was sitting there just practicing, mumbling to myself a little bit, cautious of him, because I hadn't garnered the self-confidence yet to sing, you know, as boisterously as one might to try and make a living. And he still listened, and he walked over to me and he said, "You sing beautifully, and I hope you don't stop."
Wow.
And it was, I mean, it took me by surprise. Yeah, this person captivated in their art form still found time for me.
Wow.
And but it was maybe after that point about, and it was kind of a shift in my way of, you know, thinking about it. You know, I'm sorry to pause on that. It was just a rather important moment that I'm reflecting on. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So obviously that was extremely inspirational for you to hear that. And
it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. Absolutely no. I want to hear the rest of the story. If there's more, please go ahead.
Yeah, it was about 6 months after that I started my journey or so. It wasn't about six, it wasn't totally 6 months, but it was. It's hard to gap that whole time, but it was just, how do I? When I think about how much music meant to me at the start of my journey, I didn't think I was going to be somebody that could make a difference with his music.
Yeah.
And I thought of it as a separate concept. I loved music. I loved it, but it was, I have to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get good enough to live, because if I don't, I might not make it. And so part of music came from this necessity of needing to live. And it's a strange thing to have on your back, because it's a friend and it's a weight.
And I mean
talking about traveling as a musician, I think the oddest thing is that there's not a stigma to follow, but to deal with rather. It's just you want to be authentic to yourself, and when it comes down to figuring out who that is, it really does come down to where you go and what you do with who you are. Mm-hmm. And I found out that I could make people happy and get better every day. And I managed to make a system of that where I could travel and say, you know, hey, I have to try and make a difference here. And I'd ask the homeless people in one spot, hey, if you could go somewhere you know, where would you go and who would you try to find and, you know, how would you make a difference? And a lot of them told me, you got go play music for anyone you can, because they don't always have it.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
There are people that don't have the means to have electronics, people that don't have the means to move so well. And it's just, your music could be the reason that their day is good enough. And I mean, it's just the start of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. I like your interpretation of that.
We're going to take a quick break from the interview. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
So at some point, I mean, you did that for several years and at some point you get an opportunity, I guess last year, to be on American Idol. How did that happen?
I was actually up in Yelm, Washington with a partner of mine, and we'd made our way to their parents' house, and we were like moving to Seattle because the coronavirus had started being a problem in New Orleans. And it was kind of scary to think that if I was going to move somewhere, I'd be moving to like this most expensive city somebody would talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not on the list of places, but I figured the worst thing I could do was get big enough to get on KEXP.
Right.
And so I was like, I'll hedge my bets and go to Seattle and see what I can make of being a busker in that city and aim for KEXP. And that was my initial goal. And so when we got there, I wasn't able to busk as much as I'd wanted to in Yelm. And so I went on the internet and I found out that people were live streaming music, playing concerts. And so I went to a wonderful Facebook group called Socially Distant Fest and started playing my tunes that I played while I was busking, seeing if people would tune in and, you know, listen and let me be a part of their day like I used to be. And I was lucky enough that I was able to do that for, about half a year.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call one day about, from a lady, I'm not sure if I'm able to disclose her name, but
that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously that entity of in some capacity.
Yeah. And I just received a call and they spoke of my music and they said that they liked the way I sounded. They liked who I seemed to be, and they wanted to know more and they wanted to give me a call. And I said, okay, thank you.
So you got to go on. How far did you, I saw the audition. How far past that were you able to play?
I got cut just before the top 24.
Okay.
and it really, it still sits with me, you know, that I missed the show in a way, because there was a separate kind of feeling to being a part of that little bubble.
Yeah. How has that exposure and experience changed the trajectory of your music?
If you can find any environment towards like-minded people, that's a fast track to one. That is, like, I advise anybody that's young and wondering about their potential to never be afraid to seek it out amidst those that chase the same dream, because you're all going to get there. That show is that, as much as anybody can say anything about that show for any one reason, ratings or otherwise, that show is built around getting people together and making sure they know that, you know, music's worth having.
That's amazing. So you have a song. Is it part of an album? Painted Man was the song that you played on American Idol, and it's the song that you are releasing. If it's not out, it's on the way out here very soon. Is that part of an album, or is it just a single for now?
This is just a single for now. I'm also I've got a new song coming out called Write Me Letters. It's coming out on the 22nd. It's honestly, I want to put them both on an album at some point, but I've got a couple more songs that I'd like to flesh out and get, you know, kind of a legacy CD together for some of my favorite hits that people like so far.
So what are you up to now? Are you back to the busking on the street? Do you have a different path at the moment?
Well, right now we're planning for a tour with the Volunteers of America, and we are going on a busking tour. It is a mixture of gigs where we're, you know, meeting at bars or at venues, and we're going across basically the Southeast to busk and to help with the Volunteers of America, serving food and getting services to people that are less fortunate in various areas. Hmm. And so I'm really excited. I can't tell you, because I've missed just getting out there every day and singing on the street and getting to be in the sunshine and adding a little bit of something to somebody's day. It's like a muscle you have to flex. You know, you got to remind yourself it's there. And it's I don't know. I've been waiting for the weather to break. I've been writing every day, and it's just been so much fun to be myself right now. I'm very grateful. I'm very very fortunate, you know.
So you're currently writing then new music. When you play, are you predominantly playing your original material, or are you're working in some cover songs also?
Oh, I work in plenty of cover songs. I feel like one of the things about, you know, music in general is that some people, you know, there's a genre for everybody, but I think you should be able to take on, you know, with respect, some of the songs that you're lucky enough to be able to hear.
Right.
Because I got people that are like, oh, I'd never play a cover tune, goodness no. And it's, you don't want to look them dead in their face and tell them that their jazz standard band is a jazz cover band.
But, right.
You know.
Yeah. So the music, the few that I've heard is in the Americana folk genre. Is that predominantly what you like to play in? Is that kind of that classic string feel?
As far as having like the Americana folk sound, I really like the driving rhythm you can get out of guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder to replicate on a sonic spectrum with other instruments. Like if you're playing a piano, I mean, you need an entire piano, first of all.
Right.
But a guitar, you can tune it to kind of have cadences that create space that where there might not be some, or you can fill in, you know, drum or rhythm parts that might not be there initially. Like I use my finger pick sometimes to create vibrations or taps on my guitar that fill in where a snare would be, or, you know, I don't know, that style of playing, it tends to lend to somebody that's solo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I really take to that, because I end up picking my songs apart and being like, what would my bassist play if I was to not run the bass line? And I feel like it's very easy to do as far as folk goes. I find myself writing in folk sometimes in that style, just to try and write with a band as well. And so, I find myself, you know, starting there often.
Sure.
But the songs evolve immediately, and I can, you know, put them to a different cadence once I've got structure to work with. And I go back to my roots a lot. Yeah, that's all.
What do you have planned beyond this busking tour? Do you have a national, international perspective of what you want to do with your music? Is there a, you know, a festival tour kind of thing coming up this year? What's in store for you?
We do have some festivals coming up. I believe they're on the website right now. We're still securing some dates for some ones later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause ain't that the best news you can have?
Yeah.
So it's just a game of making sure we fill up slots and don't get too cold in the meantime as the year goes on.
Sure. Yeah. Now, are you touring as a solo artist, or do you have a few musicians that go with you?
I do have a few musicians. I have Josh Canalthy and Chris Lute. Josh is my drummer, and Chris is my guitarist.
Yeah.
They are fantastic, and I wouldn't trade them.
Right. So the song that's out, Painted Man, and tell us again what the other one is that you're getting ready to release.
The second one is Write Me Letters.
Write Me Letters. And how can people find those songs, get in touch with you? What's the best way for people to interact?
If you want to find out where you can contact me or my team, you can go to murphymusic.net. I've got Facebook, Instagram under Blind Boy Music. You can find me through all of those. My Twitter handle is also Blind Boy Music, if you care about Twitter. You can find all my music on Spotify under Murphy or under Blind Boy Music. I have yeah, two names to go by for that. But for my newest singles, you'll look under Murphy.
Yeah. Awesome.
As the artist names.
Yeah. Well, it's so good to talk to you. I've been looking forward to this. I really enjoy the things that you've put out, and the story is so inspiring. So I wish you well with it, and I really hope it is fruitful for a long time.
Thank you. I'm excited because, I mean, of all the things that I'd ever thought I'd get to do, living your dream is crazy. You know, there's so many avenues to it. And now it's finally paying off. Like, I finally get to help people the way I've been wanting to, you know, and it's just, what else can you ask for?
Yeah.
You know, thank you for your time and for letting me put words to this, because it's been on my mind pretty much all day.
Yeah, you bet. Well, great. That's awesome. Thank you. Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.